the saying goes that a dog is a man's best friend. Now, did you know there's a huge number of instances when a dog is a lifesaver as well? Military dogs are not merely used for security patrols on a base. They stand side by side with soldiers in battle. And the bond that's built between soldier and dog can last well after their tours of duty are over, as long as the government and the military doesn't screw all that up. My next guest is here to share an effort being made by the American Humane Association to ensure that soldier and dog stay together and all military dogs are treated equally. She is the president of the American Humane Association, Robin Ganser. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific to have you here to talk about what is an issue that's probably going to surprise a bunch of people. Let me give you the website first. We can learn more about this and the other issues that the American Humane Association takes on, AmericanHumane.org. Yes, it is the obvious, but you always have to be sure of that. And, well, let's talk about there's two levels of matters here. Let's start with the different ways that military working dogs and contract working dogs are treated, because there is an imbalance here.
Absolutely there is. And Chris, I want to thank you so much for highlighting this issue to your listeners. You know, military working dogs are owned by the military, and the U.S. Air Force is one that one branch that does an exceptional job with their military working dogs. MWDs are usually assigned when they're very young to work with one handler for that dog's, you know, working lifetime, and that's a very, very strong bond. And then there's what's called contract working dogs, and contract working dogs are dogs that see battle. They see combat in Afghanistan and Iraq. They're usually the explosives detection dog, IED dogs, and they're serving alongside our Marines, our Army infantrymen, and they're out there doing very tough work, and they change handlers throughout their working lifetime. And again, it's about who owns the dog, and it also determines treatment of those dogs.
Now, I know that you, along with country music legend Naomi Judd, and a few very close participants in these matters, spent a couple of days down in D.C. trying to bring greater awareness to those who really can fix this problem through some legislation. How was all this received by the people you spoke with?
Well, I have to tell you, you have a great American serving New Jersey in Congressman Frank Lobiondo.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Champion of war dogs, and I just want to give him a real big shout-out because he's been mighty helpful in pushing this issue forward. You know, we were on the Hill. Naomi Judd is one of our passionate advocates. She certainly has a heart big for veterans and big for veterans that have two and four legs. So we were on the Hill with Sina, one of the military working dogs who served alongside Marine Corporal Jeff DeYoung. And we were also on the Hill with Army Specialist Brent Grommet and his military working dog, Maddie. Both of these dogs have been reunited, thanks to American Humane Association, with their human battle buddy. And their personal testimonies, the Specialist Grommet and Corporal Jeff DeYoung's personal testimonies, are pretty powerful. They talk about how their PTS has been relieved. Jeff even talks about before Sina was reunited with him as a young dad, he had so many issues of coming back home. PTS so hard, those invisible wounds of war, that it was hard for him to be a dad. And now that Cena's been with him for almost a year, his PTS symptoms have been relieved by about 80%. So pretty significant improving in terms of their health and their quality of life just because they have their battle buddy back home.
Robin Gansert, who is the president of the American Humane Association, AmericanHumane.org on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And the soldiers and their dogs that you were with brings to light the inefficiency that's being applied to Robbie's Law that was signed into law by Bill Clinton back in 2000. And it's military dog handlers become entitled to have the first right to adopt their animals if they're injured together. That doesn't always happen, though, unfortunately.
It doesn't. We have found out, particularly through the past couple of years, that there are a number of areas that need improvement in terms of the legislation. First of all, the National Defense Authorization Act. While there's a lovely provision about military working dogs, that only applies to MWDs, not CWDs, that have served alongside Army and Marines. So what we're looking for is in the National Defense Authorization Act for an insertion to be applied where that provision applies to military and contract working dogs, bringing them back, retiring them on U.S. soil unless their former handler is willing to adopt them at an overseas base. And, of course, I think it's important in that tune to point out a provision. The NDAA says they may be returned, but not they shall be returned. So there's a possibility of MWDs even being left in overseas bases and for area shelters and area families to adopt. And I think we need to shore that up to make sure these dogs can get back in the homes easily of their former handlers for both military and contract working dogs. And I tell you, Chris, we have found through this that there's been a series of issues with oversight of canine contractors. These are subcontractors to as part of large defense contractors, and we need language and regulations that provide for better oversight and standards of operation for those canine contractors, particularly when they lose their subcontract or their contract with the DOD. What happens to those wonderful dogs who have been trained for combat? Some have seen combat. What are we doing with those dogs to care for them and provide them an opportunity to be adopted by their former handler? And that needs to definitely be fixed because we're finding most of the loopholes happening in that area.
I was doing some research on Brent Grommet and Maddie, and there was a point where Brent was talking with the New York Post back in 2014 about the issue of being separated by from Maddie, and he actually had Brent, this is how the military worked, this is their sense of mistaken priorities. A couple of majors at Fort Campbell reprimanded Brent for talking publicly about this whole incident and threatened him with 4 years of prison at Leavenworth.
It was terrible, but I can tell you I've spent the past week with Brent Grommet, and I want to tell you, because of Maddie, this young man is about as close to normal as one can be after having seen battle in Afghanistan. His mother wrote me a letter, Chris, and she wanted me to share it on Capitol Hill, and I did. And what she writes was only in a mother's words, right? She said, "Robin, this bond was born in the United States Army, welded in war, sealed in the blood of Afghanistan. The bond will never be broken. Separated for 15 months, didn't damage it. These two soldiers need to be together. Please tell Washington, Robin, that our military men and women need their partners. They need their dogs." And with that, we set out on Capitol Hill.
And, you know, and this is something, too, probably runs counter to what the layperson thinks, a soldier, a veteran. The layperson might not think that that soldier wants a quote unquote reminder of what they went through, and they, you know, they want to separate themselves. But that's not understanding the sense of duty and the degree of connection that these dogs and these handlers on both sides, by the way, because even in some of these stories where the dog and the handler were separated for months, as soon as the handler comes back into the view of the dog, that dog has instant recognition.
Cena was separated from Corporal Jeff DeYoung for 4 years, and Cena immediately knew who Jeff was upon their reunion. Immediately knew. These dogs know. They're brilliant. These dogs are doing their work out of unconditional love for their handler. We can't forget the power of the bond both ways. And when they're reunited, it also helps the dog heal. These dogs are not just made for regular everyday families. These dogs have seen combat. They've seen bloodshed. They've stayed up at night in ditches in Afghanistan with, you know, Russian machine gun fire over their heads. These dogs need to be in the home of someone who understands that, someone who can really benefit from the mutual healing that goes on, particularly when we're looking at PTS. And again, dogs can experience PTS. Undoubtedly.
Wrapping up our time with Robin Gansard, president of the American Humane Association, AmericanHumane.org, and the web, here on Issues and Ideas. So for the person listening right now who wants to care about this and wants to support this cause and add their voice, what's some of the things that that person can do right now?
We've got a week or two before the National Defense Authorization Act is discussed in Congress at the final form. Please, we're urging every listener to reach out to your member of Congress today. champion this cause. You will have information on the American Humane website this week, including this morning. My new blog will be posted with specific language that we need in the National Defense Authorization Act. Take my blog, send it on to your member of Congress, and say that you too believe that both heroes on in the ends of the leash need to be together, regardless of whether they're a contract working dog or a military working dog. Let's really make sure we're retiring these dogs in the homes of their former handlers so both ends of the leash can be healed.
And again, that's AmericanHumane.org. And to find out your member of Congress in the House and the Senate, it is also the obvious, Senate.gov and House.gov. And if you're listening on the stream, this goes for obviously any elected official in Washington. Your voice can make this a better situation for these military veterans, dog handlers, and the dogs. AmericanHumane.org. We've been joined this morning by the president of the American Humane Association, Robin Gansert. Robin, thanks for being here. Lenny, know what we can do to make a difference in all this.
Thank you so much.